This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery, just like Leicester City this season. So the only thing left to say is, you in? Order now on the McDonald's app. And you can also get rewards points delivered too. So that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And that's something completely different.
Watch us on YouTube. Listen on your favourite podcast platform. Or ask your smart speaker to play the podcast Leicester Till I Die.
Subscribe, like, follow and join in now.
Strap yourself in.
Because we're set up, switched on and ready to go.
On Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport, powered by fans.
Right, Chris.
All right. Good evening, good morning, good afternoon, good day, depending where you are watching us from. Welcome along. And if you are listening in on your favourite podcast platform, thank you so much for lending me your ears. Leicester Till I Die, it's on Spotify, it's on Google, it's on Apple. And of course we are, and I'm very proud to be part of the Sport Talk Fan Network. So part of that now. So thank you for listening. And if you're watching on your YouTube, you've got the short straw because you've got to actually look at us. We've got faces for podcasts. That's all I will say. And, of course, do not forget, we are all over the place in Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You name it, we are there. It is 0-0 at the moment at Stamford Bridge. Second half just kicked off. Brad's getting quite happy because he has he's on his way to a point. And he needs it this week, let me tell you. But it is prediction week. It's Friday night. It's 9 o'clock. It's been a bit different because of the transfer deadline window. We will see how that affects everybody's predictions. Gray is in. Good afternoon. Good morning. Good day, Gray. I'm excited about tomorrow and a big shout out for Mark Albrighton. Yeah. Well, we'll probably be having a chat with Steve because, of course, he's gone to West Brom. What a player. But respect him. And I've got to say, I respect Brendan. Brendan made him the promise that he could go. He wants regular football. We can't offer him regular football. So, you know, fair play. Fair play to them both. And we wish him all the best. We do wish him all the best. I think you always judge players. And I'm going to say this the same about Perez as well. Because he wasn't playing. And he was getting abuse, really, when he did play. He never moaned. You know, Brad loved him. Obviously, Brad always said great things about him. But he never moaned. And I think that is the sign of a good player. When you look how these players sometimes throw the toys out the pram. So good luck to him as well. You know, he has played his last game for us. So we wish him all the best as well. Big Antsin, how the devil are you, sir? Looking forward to the prediction score, Brad. I'll help you, mate. Oh, yeah, that's cheating. You're going to be texting him, are you? Or are you going to do a subtle cough? When you get... Oh, I don't know whether it's... I could have done a 0-0, or should I go 1-0 or 2-1? So if we hear you coughing, Anthony, we'll know what you are up to. Evening all, Gray and Spencer's in. Good evening. Facebook user, good evening to whoever you are. Gray says, see Chelsea trying to buy the league again. Yeah. Definitely. Absolute what a professional Mark is. He is. Gutted Mark has gone on loan. Perez, too. He wasn't for us. You know, he wanted to end his career in Spain. And he's going to, and good luck to the guy. You know, it's like when you look at Luckman. Look at Luckman. You know, he's gone to Atlanta. He's absolutely tearing it up there. He might not have done that well for us because it's a different league over there. Told you is in. Good evening. Good morning. Good day. Everybody saying hello to everybody else. So join in with the predictions as we go through. Now, let me get them in first of all, and then we'll have a look at how we did last week. Brad, you were top. Good evening, sir. How the devil are you?
I'm all right, thanks, Chris. I think you may have the spoilers away there by saying you were top, because I believe I've just put my feet up for a week and let you guys play catch up, and it's caught the better of me, hasn't it?
Well, I mean, all I can say...
I don't know, it's so difficult not to look smug at this point.
I can't quite pull it off like he can.
It's not difficult at all, though, is it? That's right. No. Yeah, well, smugness comes with natural flow on this channel for us when we're winning at something, either together or here or in this competition.
To be honest with you, I know it's not going to last because this happened last season. You will come back and you will beat me. I do actually feel sorry because obviously we're like the Three Musketeers and Porthos that's coming up. He doesn't have that joy, I don't think, does he? Steve, good evening, sir. How are you?
Evening, Chris. Evening, Bradley.
Yeah, hey, that's another one.
Hey. There's only a Chris and Brad here. I don't know where... Is Bradley in backstage? Have you not brought him forward yet, Chris? Who's this Bradley, Steve?
What
I knew he was going to say that.
How are you doing, Steve?
On point, thanks, mate.
Looking forward to that. I mean, the FA Cup, we were talking before. We've got Blackburn, because that's been decided. It's Tuesday night. It's sort of, you know, one round off the quarterfinals. And it's been reduced to midweek. I mean, I suppose it's because of the World Cup still. We've got to put up with this all season, haven't we?
I think so. I'm an old-fashioned player, as you know, and that. But I always think that the FA Cup should be played on a Saturday and all the games should be played at the same time, just to keep it fair and square, you know. But TV's took over, so they play them when they want to play them.
We said before that Amazon can do it. They can, you know, every game that's being played at the same time, they manage to show. Sky got that many channels. I'm sure they could do it.
You'd have thought so, but then you'll probably go down the realms of pay-per-view then, wouldn't you, if they're doing that? I don't think they'll let you have a choice because they'll be losing out too much money.
Yeah, I mean, it's not, you know, whoever said that it was good to have the fans back and football was all about fans? Anthony says, Brad, I don't know who Brad is. Brad's not in. Brad, I put a bet on you to score more than 2 points, 1,000 to 1 on a £1 bet. If you
want, I want to know your book is if that's the odds he's getting for it, because I'll even put a couple of quid on that.
And if you are watching and wondering who Bradley is, well, the names are there for you to see. He's not going to come on again. Thanks to everybody for coming in tonight. It is, like I say, a Friday. We have all been moved around for the transfer window. We're back to Tuesday next week, and then we're looking at having a few moves around for some of the shows as well for the week after. But well, we touched on it before. How did we get on? And it is 2 weeks ago, and I thought, well, everybody's not going to remember. And the kindest thing I can do to everybody is to put the figures up. So last week, Steve got 4. Brad got 2. And I got 9. Steve, you came second.
Mate, looking at that, I'm sure you're writing mine down wrong. I'm sure you've got to be, I can't be that bad.
Unfortunately, you are.
Yeah.
I'd love to be able to say you're not. But I don't know who Lee is, Brad, but I'm sure he'll make an appearance by the end of the night. So, overall, I mean, if we go back to last week, well, the last game 2 weeks ago, you got Manchester City, Tottenham Hotspur, you got Man City winning. You got Liverpool and Chelsea drawing. You got West Ham beating Everton, and you got Man City beating Wolves. The thing I love about Man City Wolves game is that you, Steve, went, I'm going to go 4-0. Brad went, I'm going to go 2-0. And I said, well, I might as well just go in between you and go 3-0. And of course, it was 3-0. So thanks, guys. If you can do that again for me this week, I would really appreciate it. And I think the second word you're saying going to be saying to me is off, isn't it?
It might possibly.
Now, just to let everybody know, because obviously the first game of the weekend is being played now, 56 minutes in, it is 0-0. But the guys, we all did our predictions earlier. So looking at this game, Steve, you went for 2-0 to Chelsea.
I went for 0-0, mate.
Well, we'll see about that. Brad went 2-2, and I went 3-1. So, I mean, Chelsea's just spend, but they just can't score goals.
Like I said, you know, before we came on, and the amount of money they spent in this window, they've got a hell of a lot of creative players, but they're not creating anything. And like, you got Havertz up front, and I can't see him scoring, to be honest. The chances he does get, he slashes it, or I don't know what he's doing with it, but they're going to struggle, I think, scoring goals again, just like Everton.
I mean, do you, Brad, think, I mean, look, you know, Fulham are 7th, Chelsea are 10th, they've spent absolute fortunes, people have got contracts till they die. Is it down to Potter, or as we, me and Steve, said before the show started, are they actually not Potter signings?
No, they're not Potter signings. He hasn't got a clue how awful these are, how good they are. This guy's just wanting to give his big moment in the sun. Look at me, I'm a rich boy, I can spend lots of money on these players. And look, credit to him, it's why he's a businessman and got so much money. Did he find this loophole that kind of exposes it, because obviously it's every 3 years or whatever it is, so he's dividing it up that way. But I'll just say two words that will make us all say physically sick just for hearing them, but Nottingham Forest, just because you buy a load of players doesn't mean it's instantly going to work. It's going to take time, and you know, it's what I mean. Chelsea might still win this game, but it tells you where they're at when they've probably made wholesale changes. They've had no time at all, and Fulham are a good side. They've proven that this season, they're continuing it. They're a good promoted side this season. They finally got it right. So, yeah, I think it's not going to happen immediately. But just as you always think with Chelsea, when they make these lump sum purchases and a lot of them, that you just kind of dread that it will click. And if it does click, it could be... And that's what they've gambled on, essentially. That's what he's gambled on. Buying in about 11 or 12 players for this 300 million. This Bowley or whatever his name is hoping that that'll, you know, throw enough at it, it'll stick and they'll win something with it.
Yeah.
Time will tell.
I mean, Fulham, they're playing so well, aren't they, Steve? And I mean, they bought Lukic from Torino for 8 million, but they've borrowed Soares from Arsenal on loan and Shane Duffy from Brighton undisclosed. And then you look at Chelsea and who they have bought, and Brad's gone, and you're thinking, right, go Fulham, go for it. You know, in Chelsea's just, you know, their list just goes on and on and on.
I think I was a bit naive with Fulham. I think when they first came up, I think they played like they did when they were in the Championship.
Mm.
And then when they got into the Premiership for the one season, like, they played in, like, short spasms, short timage. And then if things wasn't going their way, like, they used to collapse. But yeah. Now, watching them now, they are strong for 90 minutes. And they seem to be getting at the teams now more than they used to. And looking at that now, you know, I think they're doing more good attacking than Chelsea. So, fair play to them. They look really strong this year.
I said, Brad, that it was the manager that hadn't impressed in his previous attempts in the Premier League. But he's proving me wrong. And, I mean, they've got Ziyech. He was the one they tried to get rid of. And he started the game. And he's played like 50-odd minutes of the game. And he's now gone off for, I can't even remember his name, the guy that they got from Man City, Sterling. And, you don't try and get rid of a player and then keep, put him on. Or am I just being naive myself?
I think that really shows you who was in charge of who was leaving and who they were bringing in this summer. Because it clearly wasn't Potter, because there's no way Potter looks at Ziyech, goes, go on then, off you go, bugger off to PSG, obviously, and then have the hiccup and then go, oh, I was only kidding, mate, I want you. No, it doesn't work like that. You know, that's clearly something that's come from higher up that's made that decision and not Potter to see it directly, because there's no way he comes back on that pitch and wants to play for Chelsea again after they've just done what they did with the PSG loan. So, yeah, it's a little bit glaring, a little bit strange, but then is it a case if I get him on the pitch, everything looks okay and it's a smoke screen? Because if he doesn't play and people go, oh, it's going to be awkward now for him, will Ziyech, will he ever play for them again? And I wouldn't like to be Graham Potter right now, because a lot of people are joking and worryingly saying it's a lot of money to spend to finish 10th in the Premier League.
Yeah.
And they could realistically still stay there if it doesn't click, couldn't they?
Yeah. I mean, before we move on to both of you, before the end, at the start of next season, will Potter still be manager?
I think he will if they let him pick the team properly, let him get his own players in. I think he needs a big clear out. And I think he needs to go back to the basics. It's all right playing, you know, this sideways, backwards football and whatever and getting nowhere. They definitely need somebody up front, definitely.
Mm. Brad?
They need to get through it. And again, maybe they need to take a leaf. I worry that this guy's just going to be an American Abramovich and he's going to use the fact that he's gave 300, 400 million for the manager not to take them where he's expecting them to. And I can see them, you know, it's a different face, same shite, if you will, at Chelsea in terms of manager sackings and not being good enough. I worry for him. I worry for him because you'd like to think that if they're putting all that money into the club and they wanted to hustle him out of Brighton so no one else snapped him up, you'd think they'd at least give him, you know, A, no more players, for God's sake, stop spending money so he can have a settled squad, and B, give him a fair crack at the whip with the players you've brought in. Because if you don't, you're going to become a very, very rich Watford.
Or Everton, for that matter. I mean, you know. He's come in as this rich American owner. In fairness, you have to say, how much do they know about football as a sport? I mean, you know, whatever we say about our owners, they came in, but they kept Manan Mandrić on, for 6 months or something, and learnt off him, and love him or hate him. I love him because he saved the club, but at least he knew how to run a club. You know, he knew the ins and outs. But this guy's come in, and he's like you say, it's almost like kid in a sweet shop, isn't it? You know, and I just think these players that have come in, when you look at how much they've cost, and if Potter didn't want them, there's no way he can there not play them. I don't think he'll be in charge at the start of next season. I really, really don't. But 65 minutes gone, still 0-0. Talking about Everton, and it's going to be a very quick one for Brad this week because he's got no Frank Lampard to moan about. Talking about Everton, at home to Arsenal, a great man. I think they've finally got the right manager, and I don't think he will stand any nonsense because I think he's gone in. And yes, it is Gray. Sorry, Gray has just said, is it true Harrison was having his medical? Yes, it was. He was speaking to Brendan, having his medical, and Lee's changed the mind. But Sean Dyche has gone into Everton a bit like Conte at Spurs. And he said, you need me, in fairness, more than I need you. Because no manager that has been sacked needs to get a job straight away because they've got a couple of million just to keep tied them over. And they've bought nobody. And they've got Arsenal. I mean, does it get any worse for Everton, Steve?
It's hard to say, to be honest. I think, are you going to have, you know, this where the new manager comes in and everybody's going to be trying 200% and make it hard for Arsenal? Or are you going to have the same old problems that Everton have had all season? You've got to look and say that it's going to be a game where it's going to be a high-scoring game for Arsenal or it's going to be a low-scoring draw because Everton haven't got the goals in them at the moment. So it's either a high-scoring game for Arsenal or it's going to be a draw game, a low, low draw game. So on that, and I think because of Dyche coming in, I'm going to go for a 0-0.
Wow. Okay. Brad, Anthony just wants me to show you this. I'll just do it the once just to help you. He's gone 2-0 Arsenal. Oh, I'd love you to say that was what I was going for, and it's wrong this time next week. I mean, look, they're the only team in the Premier League that is actually weaker coming out of the January transfer window than going into it. Whether you like Gordon or not, he was a prospect. I think he'll do well at Newcastle. I don't think there's many players that will do bad under Eddie Howe. I think he knows who he wants and he gets the players in. From Sean Dyche's point of view, it's a win-win for him because if they go down, it's a case of, well, you were going down anyway, and I just, you know, nobody was signed, I couldn't plug the gap, and you know, you have to rebuild it. And if he keeps them up, because I think if he keeps them up this season, it'll be a bigger success than Frank doing it last season.
I wouldn't necessarily say it's a win-win. No manager, no matter the circumstances, wants a relegation on their CV. And he'll be wanting to prove that, he can keep Everton up, and B, if he's entrusted to get the players into play a style that he prefers instead of a style that he's forced to with the limited resources he had, but like he had at Burnley, he can show what he's actually made of. So I don't think he'd actually, Sean Dyche doesn't come across as the sort of manager to go, well, it weren't my fault, went down because so-and-so. I think he'd take responsibility that he backed himself to save Everton from relegation, which they need doing. I think this game is a bit of a free hit for them, though. I know the joint bottom of the league, and it sounds ridiculous saying that, but if they can, and you're going to hate me for this because I honestly stand by this, if they can put in a performance. This is one of them games for Everton where the performance is key. If he puts out his 11 that he's had the best chance to see of in the short time he's been there, and he gets some playing away and goes, right, this is the best I can get out of this squad right now, playing this way with this 11. They can lose to Arsenal 2-0, which is the score I was actually going for. I'm deadly serious. I was going for 2-0. But if that Everton fans will want to see the performance, because if you can see a change and a positive change, you can take losing to the team that's top of the league when you are where you are. And I think Everton will do that. I don't think it'll be a battering, that's for certain. So, Q 4-0 Arsenal.
Guess what I'm going for. To me, I mean, yeah, what I meant with Sean Dyche was, I mean, if they do go down, I don't think the fans will hold it against him.
Because I think not if they go down trying, because there's a situation you're in. You can't if they go down trying.
I think it's like, you know, I mean, we did blame Ian Holloway, but when you looked at it, that team was going down. It had been going down for a few seasons, let's be honest. And it was just a case of when rather than if. They are joint bottom, but they're only one win off ourselves. I mean, you know, we've got a goal difference in our favour, but you know, they're not cut adrift here from memory bliss, as they say. But I just think, you know, I mean, look at the you know, their results. Lost to West Ham, lost to Southampton. Stuffed by Brighton, but they did get something at Man City, which probably says more about Man City than it does Everton. You know, Arsenal beating what was a very good Brighton, or it is a very good Brighton side, drawing with Newcastle, great win over Tottenham in the North London Derby, and lucky against Man United. I think this is a statement game because, yeah, Arsenal did lose against Man United last time out, and they're going to want to come out and sort of, you know, again, prove that they are the right people. You know, they should be at the top of the division. I just don't see it getting any better for Everton. You know, they haven't, say, added to any players that will. Well, they haven't added any players that will make any difference. I've got to go. And believe it or not, I was going to go for this 4-0 to Arsenal. Now, if that ends up 4-0, Brad, you will absolutely be killing me, won't you?
Just a smidge, and I'll be very I won't be angry. I'll just be disappointed.
You'll be very disappointed, won't you? I'm sorry, Dad. Anthony says, Dyche will try and park the bus against Arsenal and hit them on the break, but can't see them winning. I just can't see Everton winning. I mean, how long did it take Sean Dyche to actually agree to go and take the job? I mean, you know, there's a couple of days there when, you know, they could have been buying players, and, you know, has he? You know, when Eddie Howe resigned, Steve. You know, he spent the time, he went to other clubs to, you know, to have a look and see, and was watching players. You know, if Dyche was in that situation, if I was Dyche, I'd be thinking, well, you know, there's a couple of managers that are under the trouble here. Let me keep an eye on a few players, you know.
I think this game, Arsenal, Dyche will just be watching, because I think you'll judge Everton on this game by, is it the players that are not good enough, or was it Frank Lampard and his coaching and the way he motivated the players? So yeah. I think Dyche will just go in with this. He'll probably want to do well, but he'll just be watching this to see what the attitude is of the Everton players, see if it's any different to what it was when Frank was there. And then, you know, you might see a big change just because of the players and not what the manager's done.
Yeah.
And I think you'll only see what the manager does in two or three games down the line.
Yeah. Just say, Ant's asking me if I can mark his scores down. I was doing. You just want to see if you can beat Brad again, don't you, Ant? That's what it is. The most important game of the weekend, a Midlands derby. Villa are hosting, dare I say, could it be a resurgent Leicester? I mean, we've all put our scores in for this, because obviously I had to put the scores on the website. and we're doing it sort of Friday as a bit later as well. Steve, I know you've gone for a particular result in your reverse psychology mode, but can Leicester get something at Villa? I mean, Villa are pretty safe, I think. I mean, they're not 100% safe, obviously, but, you know, they are literally just three places above us, but they're massive, and I say massive, 10 points above us. We need to win this tomorrow.
We do, and, you know, you've got to look at the new signings he's made. Are the new signings going to be able to play or let to be play how they play, or are they just going to slot into Brendan's psychology and the way he plays his type of football? If it does, you're not going to see an improvement at all, because, you know, you're just swapping names around and shirts around like you've had in the squad already. Or are you going to give the team at least a life and let them go for it? And I think that's Leicester's big thing in their armoury. If you let Leicester go and you let them attack, and they attack, you know, with every player on the pitch, then Leicester are a force. But if they play the negative sideways, backwards, patient football, you know, they're just the average Joe team again. And I think you've got to see some change somewhere. You know, you're buying players in to make the changes to make the team better. And we'll see what happens against the Villa if they do. But, you know, Villa at the moment playing really well, really strong. And the reverse psychology is I've gone for Villa to win 2-0.
2-0. Well, let's hope your reverse psychology works. Brad, you've been quite confident in Leicester. We did the show the other day, and after you left, I picked it was last night's show. It was the opposition preview, and I actually went and I picked the team. It was a mix, because it wasn't the formation that I wanted, because, you know, I'd always go to up front. But it was a 4-1-4-1, because I think that's what Brendan, you know, or a variation on that. Now, for me, I had Christian starting. I had Tete starting, because he should be raring to go, because he's just been playing in the French league. So he hasn't had a gap, hasn't got to get, you know, match fit or anything. Soutar, obviously, is injured. That's typical, isn't it? But if he isn't and he is fit to play, he starts for me. But you've gone for 3-0.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it was confidence, so it was more of a case of, you know, like everything that happened in the window, the signings, we knew the positions he wanted to strengthen in, he strengthened in, we were very close to doing extra business, which would have been a Brucey bonus, as I said back in the days, you know, Brucey bonus, but it didn't happen. But he looked at what he wanted and what he said would improve the team, and he's got it. And now, like I said, I'm not sure if it's confidence that all of a sudden the magic's going to click. I just feel like it's kind of like, well, go on then. You've got what you wanted. Now go and deliver what you said that would help deliver. Mm-hmm. And if it doesn't start against Villa, it's never going to start, I feel, with our run of fixtures. So maybe I used a mix of that and I'm just really determined to see a confident Leicester performance. But yeah, 3-0 is why I'm sitting, because it'd be nice to just not lose to Villa. We've already had to deal with being out tactically fought by probably the joint second worst manager I've seen in the Premiership in Steven Gerrard. So if we could just win this game and nice and easily, it'd be a great way to
please, Brendan. Pretty please. I know. I mean, I spoke to the Villa fan yesterday. Lovely guy. He actually has quite a soft spot for Leicester. And he wasn't as confident. I'm looking at this, and if you're looking at form, I mean, you know, they've won the games. But when you look at who they've beaten, I mean, they lost to Villa, but they beat Tottenham, but they could only draw with Wolves. They only just beat Leeds and they only just beat Southampton. So they're not setting the world alight at all. But having said that, they're beating the teams at the bottom, which is what they need to do. It was funny because Brendan's press conference is now back up on site. I still can't hear what the questions are. I've not really improved it, but I actually, when I was searching for it, I found his press conference when he was offered for the job. And you know what he said? He said, "We need to get back to exciting football." Can please anybody tell me, did I fall asleep? Did I miss that period? When did that happen?
Well, probably in the period where we were actually up there living the dream, weren't we? In that part, that strange era that's put in the myth and lore, isn't it?
Yeah. Your camera has gone off, by the way, Brad.
Yeah, I'm trying to sort it out because the echo problems doing my head in now, even though I know you can't hear the echo, but I'm having it, so I'm seeing what I can do.
With my sound. I have gone for 2-1 to Leicester. I just think there'll be a bit of a bounce with the new signings. He wasn't confident, you know, Watkins' form at the moment. Coutinho's not doing it. And, of course, they've sold Danny Ings, who's actually is their top goal scorer for the season. So, yeah, I do think we could get... And we need to get something from this one, you know, because when you look at who we've got coming up, it really does scare me. So, yeah, 2-1, we've got to do it. Let's see what people are saying in the old chat. Gray has gone 1-1 for Villa Leicester. Anthony's gone for a Desmond 2-2. We have to be positive or sack Rodgers now. Look, I said this the other day, didn't I, Brad? Rodgers is going to be here now till the end of the season. Unless we really drop into the bottom two or so, I don't see the point in getting rid of him. We should have done it before we brought any players in. We haven't. So I think he's here till the end of the season. So I will moan about him, but I want to try and get behind him. And do you, Steve, think he's here till the end of the season?
I think he will be. But I think, you know, he needs to show a bit more enthusiasm. Every interview he does, it's just the same old plodding along, and that doesn't give any confidence in anybody, I don't think. You need a bit of excitement, or you need to show that, you know, you've got more in you than excuses and talking about the same things week in, week out, which is not changing.
Well, I have to say we do have a bit of this.
Catching up with the latest news on LTID Radio.
Did that stop for you guys then? Because it stopped for me.
Played well.
The breaking news, if you saw the conference, he smiled. Stephen actually smiled in, I mean, he was saying the word Coventry when he said it, so I'm not exactly sure why, but back me up here, Brad. He smiled, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. He did indeed smile. I didn't get it. Maybe he had a bit of trap wind. We don't know. It sounds so far-fetched. But when he said we have a bit of Coventry flair, I'm not sure if he was relating maybe probably to Madison, because obviously that's where Madison started, isn't it? So I'm assuming that's where it was from anyway, because otherwise some people maybe just not naturally thinking about it wouldn't have got it. But to see him smile, it was a bit disturbing, wasn't it? It was like when you look at a painting. It's like when you look at a painting that smiles at you and you feel like the eyes are following you around the room. You may feel a bit uneasy seeing him smiling. Maybe that's why we don't see him so animated, Steve, because it was a bit uneasy to see when it happened.
It was reminding me, you know, when you watch a horror movie and just before the killer stabs you or he goes on his spree, he has that smile on his face. We really needed the Joker smile, didn't he, with the big red lipstick. Good evening, Luke. Gray says, if Tete gets injured, who plays on the right? I honestly think you move Madison out or Pratt. That was what he was, you know, alluding to. Luke's gone 3-0 to Leicester. Sorry, 3-0 to Villa. Of course he would do. Why wouldn't he? Win-win, how are you doing, sir? I'm a Geordie and I predicted a 2-0 to win for Villa. Sorry, Foxes. No problem. Not a problem. This is what it's all about, predictions. The way our season's going, I do not blame you. You're having a great season, by the way, and congratulations on reaching Wembley. Well done, well deserved. And you're welcome to the show. Great. If we're playing as atrocious as the Newcastle game, yeah, Villa 2-0. If we don't, no chance. We can't play that bad again, surely. Three new players. We have to kick on. Gusto from the get-go tomorrow. Get stuck in. We're just talking about Rodgers then. So, just out of interest, this is what everybody has gone for in the ex-players prediction league on the website www.leicestertilidie.com. Ian Wilson, I'm just waiting for his to come in. Brad, as you can see, went 3-0. I went 2-1. Craig went for 1-1. Jerry Taggart went for 2-2. Ian Marshall went 2-1 to Villa. Steve, as we heard before, has gone 2-0 to Villa. And Steve Walsh has gone 1-1. All I will say is, Steve, don't ask where you are in that league either. Sorry, there's no easy way to break it to you, you know.
Yeah, right.
Brentford, Southampton, Steve. I mean, Brentford going great guns. Drew with Tottenham, beat West Ham, beat Liverpool, beat Bournemouth, but could only draw with Leeds. Southampton going into this, they lost the semi final. They have lost to Brighton, lost to Fulham. For God's sake, they lost to Forest. Good God, they must be awful. They managed to beat Everton, but then sort of who doesn't? But they lost to Villa. I mean, looking at this, it can really probably only go one way, can't it, Steve?
I don't know, to be honest. I don't think, watching the midweek game against Newcastle, I don't think they played bad. You know, they came back into the game and they proved the point. If they can, you know, take that away form to Brentford, Brentford are playing well, but Southampton are a team where you don't think they're going to get anything. They tend to get it. And I think in this game, I think it's going to be a free kick that gets to them. And I think they're going to win 1-0
Southampton. 1-0 to Southampton. Wow. Have you ever thought, Steve, you know, when you said, like, you think that maybe I'm adding it up wrong and you think you've got more points than you have. Have you ever thought, look, when you're going, like, scores like that, that might be the reason. Just wondering, asking for a friend. Dad, Brentford, they are... I can't see where they are. Well, Southampton are bottom, we know that. And Brentford are eighth above Liverpool and Chelsea. And they'll still be above Chelsea if it's going this way. The game finishes like this. Do you think Southampton can pull off a shock?
No. Sure. No, if they could, they just can't. Yeah, all right. Well done, Southampton fans. Had a nice little bit of relief of the shock in the Carabao Cup quarterfinals, and you kept yourself in it until at least the second leg against Newcastle, but you're still a god awful team in the league with a back. I can't believe I'm actually saying this, but somehow you magically managed to take a backward step from Ralph Hasenhüttl with who you have in charge of the players, and you're going to get back to getting beat every week, I'm afraid. I agree with Steve. With Ward-Prowse, there's always a goal in there. There's always a goal threat that they can score from a set piece. But Brentford are going to score three more. It's going to be 3-1 Brentford. Southampton are in trouble. And maybe their time in this division's coming to an end because they're just dross.
I mean, they did, like I say, they've been managed to beat Everton. But I know disrespect to Everton and James if he's in. But it's not exactly the hardest opponents, are they? And I think they won in the cup as well. But I'm for you. I think this is the season we see. I was talking I think it was David Connolly on Wednesday, and I said, I've got Southampton and Bournemouth to go down, which really hurts me because they're my two local teams and the best chance I've got of watching Leicester. But I do think we're going to be saying goodbye to both of them. I think they're going to get a goal because of the free, you know, you say, you know, a Joe Ward-Prowse free kick. I don't want to go the same as you, Brad. I was tempted to go for that, but I'm actually going to go 2-1. To Brentford. My favourite score today, 2-1. Gray's gone 2-0 to Brentford. He's had exactly the same there. Maybe a James Ward-Prowse free kick. Anthony's gone 2-1 to Southampton. Of course you would, Anthony. They're your second favourite team. And Luke has gone Brentford 1, Southampton 2. And Bilal's in. Good evening to you, sir. Welcome along. Hope you are well as well. Don't forget, if you are new, please do subscribe to the channel. It does help us out immensely. Talking about teams down at the bottom, Bournemouth, they are off going, well, just along the coast, really, to Brighton. Like I say, fair play to Brighton. I didn't think they were going to do this good once Potter left, but it's like just a smooth transition. This new guy seems to know what he's doing, Steve.
Yep, I think he's getting 200% out of the players, and every game that goes by where they get a good result, you know, they're going to get harder to beat just because of the confidence in that, but. They fully deserve what they're getting. You know, they're playing good football. So I'm going to say 2-0 to Brighton.
2-0 to Brighton. Bournemouth, I mean, I think a lot of people had them going down because of who the manager was, Brad. They changed, and I was talking to a Brighton fan yesterday at a local, at the shirt framing shop. And He's not confident that they're going to stay up, and that's, you know, that's a Bournemouth fan, and I've got to say I agree with him.
Yeah, they've not really brought quality in, and I've never thought, and I get it, the size of their ground doesn't have the reputation to bring in sort of player and the finances of the clubs, I get that, but I just feel so underwhelmed with Bournemouth. I think they did the right thing in sacking the man who had, you know, his suit had more sense than he did. I think they made the right choice there, but just underwhelmed me. I know we sit here and tell Forrest off for buying 400 players, and you know we've had a go at Fulham in the past for doing something similar. But you've got to do something when you know you're lacking Premiership quality. And they just have been. And they just were very underwhelming. That was a weird phase when they were really hot and should have given the manager the job. And then they waited an extra like 6 games before giving it him. It was a bit weird. And Brighton have been ever-present. I've said the same about Fulham. They're not dropping off. We keep expecting Brentford and Brighton and Fulham to drop off and all of a sudden go back to the bottom end of... Well, not the bottom end of the table, but... a lot lower down than where they are, and everybody seems to fall in the norm, and it's just not happening. And I'm gonna take the one off that I gave to Southampton in the last one, and I'm gonna go for 3-0 Brighton. I don't see Bournemouth scoring.
No, I mean, I'm looking at Bournemouth here, and I mean, they have the total cock up of a player that. Roma were going to sell to them, and then the player went, "Dad, I don't want to go. I don't want to go to Bournemouth." And I think he wanted to go to AC Milan, and then that fell through. So he came and said, "Yeah, I'll come to you, Bournemouth." And they kind of said, "Well, sod off. We spent the money now." And talking about spending the money, I mean, they've got Traore on loan from Sassuolo. That's just for you, Anthony. They've got Vina on loan from Roma, and they've got Darren Randolph undisclosed from West Ham. But After that, 10.5 million on Semenyo from Bristol City. Now, I don't know how good he is. Anthony will be able to tell us if that is a bargain and if he's sorry he's gone. But 10.5 from Semenyo from Bristol City. 20 million on Otara from Laurent. And 24 million on Zabini from Dynamo Kiev. So 54 million on three players. Randolph, let's say six, for the sake of, you know, he's West Ham. So 60 odd million they've spent on a ground that holds about 17,000 and on a ground that, you know, on a team that's likely to go down. They, you know, again, American owner that, yeah, he owns sports clubs over there, but I just think, I just can't see what they're doing. I think it's weird. It is weird. I think it's a case of spending the money, like I say, trying to buy a, you know, the to stay up, and I don't think it will. I've got to agree with you, Brad. I'm sorry, because I can't see Bournemouth scoring, and I'm going to go 3-0 to Brighton. Let's have a look what everybody else wants. Winnie Win has just subbed. Thank you so much, sir. You are a gentleman. Thank you very, very much indeed. Luke, oh, let's just go back. And Gray has gone 4-0 Brighton. Luke's gone 2-0 Brighton. Told you has gone 3-1 Brighton. Anthony has gone 3-1. He thinks that Bournemouth will get a goal. Winnie's gone 2-0 Winnie. I sound like, so I'm making you sound like somebody off Mrs. Brown's Boys, aren't I? It is, yeah, it is Winnie. 2-0 to Brighton. I think we're all going having the same feeling here.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Away days are great, but when you can't play away, there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus. Serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Just think Brighton's Wonder Holiday Resort, now an established Prem team. Rich is in from Rich Sports. Good evening, sir. Congratulations on getting to the final of the League Cup. It's going to be a good game, that. Newcastle hosting Manchester United. Fortunately, I do think that most of the neutrals might be in the black and white end rather than the red end, but, you know, that's just because of obviously recent history. Brighton have great owners, back their football appointments 100%. Anthony says thanks. Well, will selling everyone eventually catch up with them, though? Usually does. It does, you're quite right. Yeah, he's a good player, Chris. Shame he left, but Bristol City needed the money. Well, okay, maybe they've got a player there. But Steve, you know, I like Brighton. You know, for years, you know, every team can sort of, Newcastle can say, well, look at our bad years, and Leicester can go, we were out of business twice, look at our bad years. But, I mean, they were playing at a ground that was a greyhound track. Or was it not a greyhound track, but an athletics track?
This is why English football is so good. You know, you want the smaller clubs to do well. You know, I think this season so far is a big change to what we've been used to. You know, Liverpool winning every week, Man City winning every week, Man United winning every week. And I think now where the smaller teams are getting results more than they would do usually, no matter how much money you spend, if you haven't got the right players and the right mindset, you know, you are going to struggle, because a lot of teams, like you say, they buy individual players for big money and it takes a long time for them to fit in and they have to change things. But the little teams, they can't buy the big players, so they get together with the team spirit and they get together, yeah. You know, in different ways, isn't it? That's what makes it so good.
Well, just to say, it has finished full time at Stamford Bridge, and it has finished Chelsea 0, Fulham 0.
Brad? That's what I predicted.
Yeah. I tell you what, he's that far behind, Chris, given the points, I'd say. He needs them. He needs as many as he can.
Well, having said that, you know, Brad, he's got half what he got last week.
you missed a chance to have Bon Jovi ready, didn't you, with halfway there, because I'm already there at halfway. Game one, I'm on a roll.
1 point, well done, Brad. Well done. It's all downhill from now on, probably.
Yeah, if that's the only point I get, I'm going to cry at the end of it. I'm not doing this next week. I'm ill next week if that's the only point I get.
So Anthony will step in and he'll get more points than you again.
It's fine. It's negotiation alone.
Yeah, bring him in on loan. Okay, so the next game, Manchester United, who, like we say, have just got through to the Carabao Cup final, and they are hosting Palace. Man United, great win over Arsenal. Great loss to Arsenal. I'm sorry, Rich. Arsenal, I was hoping for 2-2 because that was my prediction. Palace played you. You're playing Palace again quite recently because you only played them back in January and it was a 1-1 draw. You beat Man City 2-1. That was a good victory for you. You beat Bournemouth 3-0 and you beat Wolves 1-0. Palace, on the main hand, they're in fourth, Man United. Palace are in 12th. They drew in Newcastle, with Man United, lost to Chelsea, lost to Tottenham, but they did manage to beat Bournemouth. I've got to say, Steve, I've been impressed with Man United this season. I had them finishing sort of 6th, 7th, because I thought they were in the middle of, you know, the new manager, a rebuild. He was going to be given time because he was really the manager that could do things for them. And he's doing that rebuild, but he's got them. They're throwing some points away, but he's got them playing well and he's got them in fourth. And I think they're going to get a Champions League place this season.
Yeah, I was very critical of Man United last year and partly this year as well, you know, saying that they're a team of individuals and their players individuals. But you can see the manager now, he's starting to get his team, not the team he inherited. And I think the two tough decisions he made by getting rid of, you know, the so-called superstars and whatever. And the confidence is grown and, you know, they're turning into a team again rather than individuals. And like you say, I don't know what's happened to Rashford, but unbelievable guy now. He's back to where he was when he first came on the scene, and long may he keep on doing it. So I'm going to go for a 3-0 Man United win.
Woo, big win. I don't think there's one Man United fan that was sorry to see Ronaldo go, Brad. Like I say, I've got to take my hat off to the job he's doing there. We all joked when they got him in. But I've got to say, if they hadn't thrown sort of some games, I'm not saying they throw them away as in, you know, deliberately losing them, but they've thrown points away. If they hadn't, they could even be challenging for the title.
Yeah. I think that would have been well above any Manchester United fans' expectations. I still think they're going to be probably another 3 seasons for the challenge, because that's the biggest gap in terms of what Man City have and a few other teams now we're seeing are already ahead of Man United. So he's doing really well to make them catch up and catch up quickly in terms of the quality he's been bringing in, the style of football he's going to play. You talked about individual egos. He's got rid of them. Biggest one is the biggest elephant in the room is Piers Morgan's best mate, Ronaldo. You know, and he's done well. There was questions when he came in. Would he really do? But he's got hit the ground running. he's got Rashford scoring goals, which I think everybody knew he's capable of. He just needed confidence and play in the right position. He looks a new player now. And I'm going to agree with Steve. I don't, you know, you used to Crystal Palace maybe throwing a spanner in the works when they play these bigger sides. I don't see it this time. I think this will be a 3-0 Man United.
You're agreeing with Steve? Ooh. That shows how nervous he is, Steve. He's making sure that if you get the points, he gets the points as well. See what his plan is here. I actually missed the boat because I should have just agreed with everything that Brad went for and end up with the same points. Yeah, I agree. I mean, I agree. I mean, Winner's just said, you know, they're up for sale, Man United. There's a lot going on, but I've got to say, credit. He's not going to be manager of the season, but he's going to be up there with everything that's gone on, you know, and doing this well in a rebuild, you know. Reminds me a bit, I've got to say, it reminds me of Sir Alex Ferguson, because he had a few rebuilds in his time, but you wouldn't necessarily have known it. I've gone 2-0 to Manchester United, so none of us hold out much hope for Palace or think that they're even going to score. Gray's agreed with me at 2-0. Told you has gone 3-0. Ant's gone 1-1. And he's on that fence again. Winnie's gone 2-0 to Man United on the day. And Luke has gone 1-1 as well. So we are halfway there. Literally, like Brad said earlier, living on a prayer, and we will be back straight after this, if I can find the jingle to play. Where are we? Let's do this.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport, powered by fans.
I have to put an advert in now and go quiet so that I know where to put the middle advert on the podcast. So shh for a minute. There we go, that'll register. Right, next game. Oh, it's all getting technical. They're all getting technical now. Wolverhampton Wanderers hosting Liverpool, the last of the 3 o'clock on Saturday kickoffs. Wolves getting a little bit. I mean, you know, they were dead and buried a few weeks ago, Steve. Yes, they lost to Man City, but they beat West Ham. They drew with Villa, just lost to Man United 1-0. Beat Everton again 2-1. Liverpool, I mean, no signings. What is going on? You know, and they're still sticking by. You know, the fans still seem to want Klopp in. But, you know, they only just beat Liverpool. The only one we had to score for them so that they could beat us. They lost to Brentford, lost to Brighton, and had a very boring 0-0 with Chelsea. This could be an upset, couldn't it, Steve?
I think so. You know, you look at Liverpool now, I think Klopp is really, really struggling. I think he's gone down the route of, I've took the team so far and I can't take him any further. He's trying to change tactics a bit, which are not suiting him. It's confusing the players. They still try and play like they've been playing for years, but, you know, they're not as slick and they're not as sharp as they were before. I don't think they've lost the killer instinct, and I think it's showing with the results that they've got. Wolves, you know, they're not going to score many, but they're going to make it hard for you. So I'm going to go for a 1-1 draw.
1-1 draw. Brad, can you see Liverpool getting anything from this? It's away from home as well.
I mean, I know we've said this about, it seems a different team every season, but it depends what Liverpool turns up this season. Right now, Liverpool are failing to turn up. You know, I said earlier in the show that, you know, the likes of Brighton and Fulham and Brentford aren't, you know, they're not relenting. They're keeping their form going. They're finding way to pick up points and good points throughout. And Liverpool just keep finding ways to lose or drop points. They're not having good season. There's 7-year itch that people talk about with Klopp. The weirdest thing, though, and you mentioned there with the transfer window, I don't get it, right? There's all these so-called big-time YouTubers, right, that do these sort of things for a living, day in, day out, right? And I'm talking big-time, like 500,000, a million subscribers sort of things, right? And I'm watching these...
Better out of my league.
Well, no, but I would say more predictions done on here. So, well, for me and you, Steve has his odd one or two. He's a genius, Paul, that we play. He's a wild card of Steve. But no, they reviewed the transfer windows of all the teams and rate them. And I've seen a lot of them saying that apparently Liverpool had a good transfer window. I mean, they signed their 19th attacker that they didn't really need, given the depth they've got, even with the injuries, and signed no midfielders, a position they desperately need to strengthen, not just because of injuries or depth, but also the age of the players that they're playing there. How have Liverpool had a good window? They've had a terrible window. They haven't strengthened what it needs. And they've been putting, these YouTubers have been putting them below teams. And I'm not just saying it like... hear me because my signal went.
I think we all went a bit then. I think it's
My internet's not been brilliant today with the weather. It's not helping either. But yeah, I don't get how everybody thinks I have a good window. And like you said, Wolves have kind of picked themselves off the canvas at the count of nine because they look down and buried, like you said, rightly so, Chris. And you know what? I'm going to go for a bigger shock in terms of result, but not so much in terms of current form. I'm going 2-1 to Wolves.
Oof, right. I was surprised, I'm not going to lie, that Liverpool didn't come in for Tielemans.
Because... well, it's not a striker, mate, or a winger, apparently, for Jurgen Klopp. It's all he buys.
But he's what they need, isn't he?
Yeah, exactly. You're right, though. You're right.
And everybody that, you know, everybody that's been linked with Tielemans, whether it be Newcastle, Liverpool, Man United, I mean, all right, if he goes at the end of the season for nothing, we don't get anything about off it. But all it's doing is strengthening Tielemans' hand because he's going to just see who comes with the best offer. It's almost like sealed bids, please. You know what I mean? For me signing on fee. So I'm surprised they didn't go for them. But like you last time, I've got to agree with Stephen. I've gone 1-1. I think Liverpool will just have enough to hold on. So let's see what everybody has gone for in the chat. Anthony has still... that was the last game. Gray has gone 2-1 to Wolves. True Red has gone 3-1 to Wolves. Not a fan of Liverpool. Winnie has gone 2-0 to Liverpool. Still have good players. I agree with Steve. Need a change. Told you has gone 2-1 to Wolves. Anthony's gone 1-0 to Liverpool. Oof.
Sell out because of Red.
Yeah, exactly. Likes a team in red, doesn't he? And then Winnie does make the very good point. Liverpool have had a better transfer window than Everton.
And that doesn't say much.
Can I just say, I think Wrexham have had a bigger, better transfer window than Everton. But next up, and this is the 5:30 Saturday game, which is on... Sky, obviously. Newcastle, Winnie, here we go. Newcastle hosting West Ham. Newcastle can't do anything wrong at the moment, Steve. I mean, they've got a great manager. He did his time, you know, made use of his time out of work very, very well. I thought it was a good signing, but I thought it was going to be sort of short term and maybe just, you know, give them some stability and then he'd be replaced by a big name. But he's not. I mean, he's gone in there and he's tearing it up. Outsiders possibly to win it, but the league. But I hope they win the League Cup. I really, I think they're going to finish top four and they're going to get to the Champions League. And I hope they do because it will smash the top six. So, but West Ham, I just don't know what to think about West Ham. A bit like us, maybe sort of keeping their head above water because everybody else is so awful. But how do you see this one going?
I think what Brad said 2 or 3 weeks ago, that West Ham are not going to go on a run. They're going to get like the good win here, the good win there. They're not playing consistent enough to get two or three results together. But my second favourite team, Newcastle in the league, what can you say about them? They've got good owners with loads of money, but they're not spending stupid amounts. And I think they're leaving all these signings and the running of the team to the manager, which you can see through the way the players have all stepped up to the mark and they're playing 120% for each other. Mm. And I think that's the main thing that's going to carry Newcastle through. They've got the momentum. And you can look at every player now. Every player wants the ball. Every player's hungry off the ball. And I think, you know, that's going to carry them through. That's what they've got, what the other team hasn't got at the moment. And I think you made a point, Tielemans, just about big clubs coming in for them. Mm. They won't come in for them where they're not putting 100% in on the pitch. No matter how good you are, they'll look at Tielemans and say, you know, he's having a bad time, Leicester having a bad time, but he is not playing at 100% or 120% where, you know, Newcastle are. And they've made a couple of signings, but I can't see the signings getting into the team. I can't see them improving the team at the moment because they are playing as a team. And that team's hard to beat. It's really good to watch. And I'm going to go 2-0 Newcastle win.
2-0 Newcastle. Okay. I mean, Newcastle, Anthony Gordon, 45 million. I think he's a good player, or he will be a good player with the right manager. And I think Eddie Howe could be the right manager. Harrison Ashby, 3 million. And Garang Kool from Central Coast Mariners. Everybody's favourite player for 300,000. So they've not, like Steve said, they've not gone mad this window, but they've not had to. But West Ham, I mean, Danny Ings, 15 million, was on the pitch for 5 minutes, got injured. And Luis Azo, Sao Paulo, on a free. If you're a West Ham, I was on West Ham and official early with Jake just watching it, and they're tearing their hair out. I mean, I haven't got any hair to tear out, so I couldn't be a West Ham fan, but I mean, I can only see this going one way. Are you the same?
Yeah, I think West Ham are in a lot of trouble, and I'm not sure they're going to actually. I know, Steve, you know, what I said a couple of weeks ago, and I do stand by that. I don't think there's going to be any consistency. I think they're going to struggle to pick up points, and it's going to be sporadic wins. And I don't even know if there's enough. I think they will be really praying come the last two or three games of the season, praying on results more than thinking they've got enough about them to.
I hope not, because they've got us on the last day of the season.
Yeah, well, hopefully we're safe by then, so then it's only them that are worried about it. But we'll see what happens. But in terms of West Ham, I mean, they're not having the best of seasons. And I know Jake came on the transfer show that we did, didn't he, Chris? And you were kind of making the comparison between the two clubs. It's like, you want to be the wish order version of Leicester, and they're even worse off than us to a degree, I would say, because nobody's firing on all cylinders for them at all. At least in parts, we've had players to turn up for us for a couple of games and show a bit more. And I think this is going to get really bad, because if West Ham don't find a way of getting points soon, they're back in Europe in a couple of weeks as well. It's only going to get more harder for them to play. They're still in the FA Cup, aren't they?
Derby. Thanks, West Ham.
Yeah. So they've done one good thing this year at least, you know. Yeah. But FA Cup. Let's say they get into the next round of the quarterfinals of that, which is good in hindsight. But their Europa League will start again.
Away to Man United, though. £46 a ticket, if you ask Jake. £46 a ticket. He's not happy.
Right now, it's about £40 too much to see West Ham playing their style of football at the moment. This could be brutal. This honestly could be brutal 5-0. But I'm not going to go that high. I'm going to keep it low, and I'm going to say 3-1 3-1 Newcastle. I still think there'll be a lot of goals, but do not be surprised if this is an absolute drubbing.
No, I mean, like I say, agree with both of you, especially Steve. I mean, Newcastle are just... I don't... You know, you could argue about where the money's come from, but, you know, at the end of the day, if that happened to us, would we be bothered? No. And the thing with Newcastle is, and the fans do say this, they're not the richest club in the world. What they've got is the richest owners, and there is a difference. And what I love about them, and I love this about Villa a little bit as well, who've got rich owners, they've not come in and they haven't done a Tom Bowie. They haven't gone and spent millions on this player, millions on that player. They've done it sensibly, and they're growing at a reasonable rate. I'm going to go 3-0 to Newcastle. I can't see West Ham getting anything out of this. That said, in that middle of the table position, Leicester City 18 points minus 7 goal difference. Leeds United 18 points minus 7 goal difference. Then West Ham 18 points minus 8 goal difference. And, you know, Bournemouth third from bottom on 17th. So teams that don't win this weekend going to be looking over their shoulders, definitely. Let's have a look. Let's just go back up here. We are looking at Newcastle, West Ham. Doug is in. Good evening, Doug. How are you? Doug, of course, he's named after somebody with a spade on his head. Anthony, Wrexham play in red. Yeah, they do, Anthony. Sorry, is that bad? Was that bad? It's 2-0 says Gray. True Red's gone 3-0. Niall's in. Good evening, now. How are you? Doug's playing catch up here. It's in the chat. I'll let everybody have a look at that at their own speed. Winnie's gone 10-2 to Newcastle. He's gone 1-0 either way. So you think it could actually be 1-0 West Ham? Whoa.
Well, if that's the case, Chris, I'll go 2-0 either way. I'll go 3-1 Newcastle, and I'll also have a 2-1-0. If we can make more predictions, we're in here, Steve.
Winnie, you've gone 10-2, so we'll just see how that goes for you. But hey, I think you're going to win it. Newcastle 2, Wrexham. Oh, sorry, West Ham. Sorry, I should have gone to Specsavers. Newcastle 2, West Ham 0. Doug's Chelsea, 650 million, they can score a goal indeed. You just got a good manager there. You really have. Anthony Gordon, don't you mean Claire Balding? And he mixed the two of them together and got Anthony Balding. Winnie Wynn said, West Ham squad is built, should be top 8. Moyes bored. Oh, I don't know they're that good. I won't say they're that good. Hammer's bubble's due to burst. Bum bum. There we go. What do you call a wolf that knows it's a wolf? A werewolf. Oh dear. Oh dear. I love Steve. Steve took him a minute, but he got. I'm sorry.
I was looking at Brad's face when I.
This is for you, Doug. Yes, you deserve to get shot for that. how do you confuse a Scotsman?
Tell him tomorrow.
No, put him in a room full of spades and tell him to take his pick. Hey.
Oh dear.
And look, blame Doug. I only cracked one before Doug came in.
I was on the phone to the doctors earlier, and I said to him, I've got loads of headaches, and they said, you know why? And I couldn't put my finger on it. Now I know why, because I forgot that you two just have awful jokes. Well, you guys give me headaches.
Gray's at it as well. What do you call a man in the graveyard? Max Bygrave.
Oh, my head hurts. Stop, guys, please. Because the quality of these jokes is just...
Is that a joke?
No, it was not a joke at all. Right, let's quickly move on. Let's get out of this rut. And can I just say, because, of course, Doug does sort of come from Edinburgh, and if ever there was a better reason to rebuild Hadrian's Wall... You've got it right there, Doug and his jokes. Next up, we're going on to the Sunday. And it's a certain team up the M1 hosting Leeds. Now then, Steve, Notts Forest, I mean, how many players do they need? Let's be honest with you. The queue to use the gents at that place must be horrendous. I mean, normally, let's be honest with you, you go to any sort of outdoor event, and the queue for the women's is usually like 3 miles, and the men's like it's in and out like a revolving door. But my God, you don't want to get stuck at the back of that queue, do you? How many players do they need? 13th Nottingham Forest, 15th Leeds, mid-table battle, 21 points for Forest, 18 to Leeds. How do you see this going?
I see Leeds winning this one. I think with their hectic style of play, especially away from home where they're always at you, I don't think Forest are going to cope. Forest, like, looking at them, they like the slowish build-up or the one long ball. It's either one or the other. And I think Leeds will be too much in the face with their counter-attacking. And I don't think Forest will cope with it. And I think Leeds will win. I'm going to go 2-0.
Yeah, 2-0 to Leeds. Master tactician Jesse March going to pull one over Mr. Cooper?
If there was ever two teams you could tell me are playing that I could not care a jot about, it's definitely these two. Oh, who do I want to win? Who do I want to lose more?
It is a case of that. I've got to be honest with you, Brad. It is definitely a case of that.
I mean... Excuse me. Who did that? Very rude. That little jingle popping up.
It's not me. Not me.
You know what? A few weeks ago, when I was probably really in the giddy heights of first place, I'd probably decide I'd refuse to. I'd do a Steve and refuse to give a prediction because of the two teams they are. But given the fact that it's,
I won't stop you doing that, Brad.
Well, I'm sure you wouldn't, but due to squeaky bumps, you know what, sod it. Last on match day, because no one cares and they could send themselves to sleep. 0-0. Just nil, next. Nil. Next game. This is horrible.
0-0. Well,
I mean, hi, Luke. Hi, Luke.
Notts Forest drew with Bournemouth. They somehow managed to beat us. God knows how. They beat Southampton and they drew with Chelsea. But they lost to Man United. Leeds, on the other hand, going right back, lost 3-1 to Man City, drew 0-0 with Newcastle, drew 2-2 with West Ham, Villa beat them 2-1, and they drew 0-0 with Brentford. So they are the draw specialists at the moment. Bad start, Jesse March nearly on his way out. Somehow turned it round, had a great win against Liverpool, rose up the table a little bit. And they are slowly sliding back down. You know, one of those cartoon characters that sort of holds onto the greasy pole and slowly starts to fall down it. That is Leeds at the moment. I predicted them to go down. I think they could still go down, to be honest with you. I don't think Forest will go down. But I don't think they're going to win this. I don't want them to win this because they'll be too far ahead of us then. I'm going to agree with you, Brad, with a draw, but I'm actually going to go 1-1. On that one. So let's see what everybody, all the Nottingham Forest fans that are in, see what they have said.
You mean all three of them?
What do you call a bee that produces milk? Oh my God. Actually, I am going to give you the joke of the day. I like that one. I'm going to pinch that one and I'm going to use it. That's good. I'm going to be giggling about that now for the rest of the show. But I'll probably feel the right tip, but there we go, you know. Right, let's have a look. Leeds 2-0, says Gray. Luke's gone 2-1 to Forest, but he's drunk and he doesn't know what he's talking about. Anthony's gone 2-1 to Leeds. Tolger's gone 1-1. 2-1 to Forest, says Doug. Whoa. Winnie has gone, haven't a clue. Leeds are home, I'll go 1-1. The jokes are going too far now. let's just ignore them. I think that's a, ignore them, might go away. Last game, it's 4 o'clock on kickoff on Sunday. We've got one of Steve's favourite teams against one of his not so hated teams, but certainly not one of the ones he loves. Tottenham hosting Manchester City. And I've got to say, first of all joking aside, good luck to Conte. I know he's not been well, so I hope he gets better soon. Tottenham, they love giving teams 2-0 leads, don't they? They beat Fulham 1-0 last time out. They were 2-0 up against Man City, and then what happened? 4-2, they lost. Arsenal beat them 2-0. They beat Palace 4-0, but they did lose to Villa 2-0. Man City, on the other hand, beat Wolves 3-0. They beat Tottenham, I say, like that, 4-2. They lost to Man United in the derby 2-1. Beat Chelsea 1-0, but could only draw with Everton 1-1. Second in the table, Man City. Fifth in the table, Spurs. A funny season for Spurs, Steve. You keep thinking they're going to kick on and do something, and then they kind of don't. It's like win-win-lose. It doesn't, you know, I don't think they're going to get top four this season.
I don't give a toss about Tottenham, so it's 3-1 Man City.
Good lad, Steve. Good lad.
I don't know if anybody has seen the graphic that I used to promote this channel today, and I'll just bring it up now because this is the one I'm going to be using every week. I want to try and find it. But it does have permanently Tottenham 0. I just went for West Ham 5 and Brentford 3, Arsenal 0. So I take it like that. You're going for a Man City win 3-1. I know you're not a particularly a Tottenham fan either, are you, Brad?
It's just they're a bit annoying, really, aren't they, as a club? Because you kind of look at who they bring in as a manager, or some of the players they have there, and you think, you know, you're like, kind of like, for fuck's sake, will you just do something that isn't Spursy for once? It's getting a bit boring calling Spurs Spursy. Yeah, I mean, it's not. I'm only joking. Keep it up, Spurs. It's fucking brilliant. But, you know, just sometimes you're a bit too predictable. And I know Man City have kind of had Spurs as a bit of a bogey team over the last 3 or 4 years. But I'm actually, you know, this is scary, breaking news, if you will, but for the second time this week, not just in this entire season doing this, but in this week alone, I'm agreeing with Steve. I think Man City will cruise this game 3-1. Because no matter what Spurs seem to do, they always seem to find a way to take something good and turn it Spursy, don't they? So, yeah.
This, for me, is probably the hardest game to predict because, yeah, I mean, we've got Spurs next up after next week. But, I mean, they just hate their owners. They hate Daniel Levy. They've got that huge dog bowl of a stadium that they're going to have to pay off. But Man City, they're just not consistent, which is why they're second and why Arsenal are doing so well. I don't know. Can I see a draw? Look, I'm not going for one this show, so I'm going to go for Desmond.
You have gone for a draw.
Yeah, no, I've gone for a Desmond.
Oh, yeah, I'm going for a Desmond. I was going to say you have gone for a draw.
So I'm going to go 2-2 between Tottenham and Manchester City. So let's just have a look. Anthony, I forgot what you went for Forest Leeds. What did he go for, Anthony? 1-2 he went. Okay, so let's have a look what everybody's gone for this one. Man City 2-1, says Gray. 2-2 agrees with me. Good man told you. Good man. Man City, that was a weird one. That was a weird one. 3-1, says Anthony. Oh, so he's going with you, Steve and Brad. He's copying you there. Winnie, I'm hoping 3-0 City. Can't stand the Spuds. Well, welcome to our world. You got a fan in Steve Linux there, Winnie.
He's in the club. He's in the clubhouse. Give him the password.
You are in the little club that we have going here. True Red's gone 1-1. Great. They have achieved a third place finish in a two-horse race. Yeah, we'll never let them forget that, will we? So that's it. So just to have a very, very quick reminder here. Brad got a point tonight. Well done, Brad.
I'm halfway there. Love it.
You're halfway there, yeah. We all went, well, no, Steve actually went for a 0-0, Everton Arsenal. We both went for a win, Brad. Villa, well, Steve went 2-0 to Villa. We both went for a Leicester win. Southampton were going to beat Brentford, says Steve. We've both gone for a Brentford win. You can see there's a bit of a sequence going here, can't you? Brighton, you do love an underdog, don't you, Steve? Can I just say that? You really do love the underdog. That said, we all went for Brighton to beat Bournemouth. Man United to Palace, we all went for a Man United win. Wolves, Liverpool, you and myself went for a draw, Steve. Brad went for the win for Wolves. We all went for Newcastle to beat West Ham. What did I do? I can't remember. Do you remember what I said for Nottingham Forest Leeds? I can't read my own writing. I think I went to 1-1, didn't I?
I think you did.
But then I changed my mind and went 1-1. 0-0 for you, Brad. And 2-0 to Leeds for Steve. And you both went for Man City to beat the lovely, lovely Tottenham. And I went for a draw. I went for the first. I think that might have been the first Desmond of the evening for any of us. It was.
Yeah.
You know. So I've got to say quickly before we go, Steve, obviously, you know, West Brom's your sort of local team. You got Mark Albrighton now.
Absolutely love the guy, mate. You know, 100% gave it all the time. You know where he is. The thing I like about him is as soon as he beats his fullback, he puts a cross in. And I think if you can get a striker reading what he does, you know, you're going to be quids in. And I feel sorry for him not getting the game time that he had at Leicester. But I hope he does well, and I hope he comes back.
I think he goes with all our best wishes, doesn't he? I think he's got another season at the end of this one on his contract. But I think for a Premier League team, it's just his age, really. You know, I don't think he did give it his all, and he certainly made a difference to the team when he came on, scoring in the last game. But I think for me, you know, I wish him all the best. I do wish him well. And he really just wants to play more often. And I think he'll get that game time probably at West Brom that he wouldn't with ourselves.
I think he played tonight, didn't he, for him? I think.
Did they play tonight, West Brom?
Yeah, apparently one of my mates messaged me saying she was just checking out Albrighton because he was playing tonight. So he apparently played well. Didn't score, but apparently he played. Seemed like he played well tonight.
Fair play. Did West Brom win?
Yeah, I don't know. I saw said they scored an injury. There was a goal in injury time, but they couldn't see if it was which way it was. But yeah, so apparently he even started. I don't know if he started or came on today, but he has featured for West Brom already. So It's already working out for him.
In the 64th minute.
So he probably started and got taken off then.
You see, he still loves us because they were playing Coventry.
Ah, okay.
Coventry. Yes.
One nil.
West Bromwich Albion 1, Coventry City 0. Oh, scored in the 15th minute.
Or Brighton came off in the 74th minute.
Did it? Fair play to him.
So he got 74 minutes considering he was on the yellow card. That's good then, isn't it?
Yeah. Winnie, thank you so very much, mate. It was great to have you in. Do join us. It's Tuesday next week, 9 o'clock, and then we're probably looking at Fridays moving forward from that. Told you, bro, good show. Thank you very much. Another fantastic show, guys. Means a lot, Gray. Thank you. Bristol City knocked out West Brom. Info Cup, good game, and I was at the ground. You know, depends who wins as to which side of the fence he's sitting. Bristol, Arsenal. You know, all Brighton, a great pro, love the guy. We all do. Steve, any news on your Foxy 7?
We've had a bit of a delay for a couple of weeks. The guy that does the printing and the embroidery is moving premises, so that's knocked us back a couple of weeks, but it's given me a bit more time to try and get things properly organised.
Well, so, keep a lookout, guys, because we will be promoting it on this show. Steve's very own brand, Foxy 7, of course. Those of you that remember, he was the number 7. He was the Mark Albrighton of his day. Or let's put it another way, Mark Albrighton is the Steve Linex of the current time, whichever way you want to look at it. Steve, really appreciate it, as always. Thank you so much for giving up your time, and we'll see you next Tuesday at 9 o'clock.
Yep, absolutely love it, and I'll see you next week.
Take care.
See you later, Steve.
Bye-bye.
Brad, top 10 battles.
Yes.
Who won, Manchester City or Tottenham?
Well, you'll have to find out. Check it out. It was, as I've aptly named it, Battle of the X's. X being obviously the symbol for the Roman numeral 10 to go with the channel.
Can I just say, I didn't get that. You know, I did that thing. I did a cover for you earlier, and I'm doing it. And I just thinking, like, why did you just put 10? And then I had one of those, like, oh, yeah, moments.
Yeah, I suppose it's whatever the title, but I just thought, I hope people don't come on here thinking that me and Anthony are going to list all the wags of the Man City and Spurs players and pick our favourite 10, because that's a different show with a different meaning. But no.
It did confuse me, but when I got it, I thought, that's clever. It took me a while to think.
Well, thank you very much, Lord. But yeah, we had a good show. You'll have to watch it to find out who wins. Basically, Anthony won week one, which was Arsenal versus Leicester. It's a Premier League all-time 11, so there's no players, although maybe one of us forgot that the player didn't play for a particular club at that time, but that's for you to find out and watch back. Anywho, who won? Was it Anthony or was it me? You'll find it back, but it was so much fun. It's a new series. Well, it's season 2. Me and Anthony were running this one. We're picking, and we're trying to do it with a bit of fun to go with the times, because next week's show is the Merseyside derbies in question. It's Liverpool versus Everton. So it will be Liverpool versus Everton will be the next show for next week as well. So, brilliant. Yeah.
Check it out. Top 10 battles, the name underneath there. Is now that I've taken that down. So top 10 battles, link as always in the description below. Neil is in. Good evening. How the devil are you, Neil? Welcome along, sir. I'm going to speak to you because I want to see if you want to turn up and have a go against Brad in room 101. Have a think about it, Neil. Have a think about it. I don't know if you're up for it, Brad. I'm just saying that. I'm just guessing that you're up for it. I don't know if you are or not.
Yeah, I'm sure I can think of some to put up against it in whatever way we do it. So, yeah, I look forward to it. Get Neil on, get him involved.
Yeah. Optimistically, Neil, probably 3. Work that out as to where they're coming from. Mate, thanks very much. I will see you tomorrow night at 6:30 for the post-match.
Yeah, hopefully we're continuing the trend of speaking about a positive-ish result for Leicester. You know, Brighton was a deemed a positive result, despite the way we drew it at the end there, and obviously we won the last cup game. So let's hope we continue that with getting 3 points in the league, because we need them. We desperately help us.
We do, mate. We do. See you tomorrow. Take care. Have a good night.
Take care, mate, and take care of everybody who's been watching. And I'll see you tomorrow.
I'll have a quick one with you straight after the show.
Yeah, no worries, matey.
No, you're honoured. I don't just have a quick one with anybody, you know.
Oh, I feel special.
Take care, mate. Thanks so much.
Take care.
Oh, thanks to Brad there. Top 10 battles. Check it out. And check out Beyond the 90 as well, a great Leicester channel. Look, we all support each other, these Leicester channels. Yeah. Oh, Neil's in for it. Good, mate. I'll message you, I'll have a word. Room 101, it's just like the telly, really, but I'll explain it more to you in the messages. And don't forget this. If you are not going out tomorrow afternoon...
Coming up next on Leicester Till I Die TV.
It's the Watch Along. Catch us tomorrow at 2:30 for all the action live as Leicester travel to Villa Park to take on Aston Villa. Can we beat them? Yes, we can. We will see you. I know, I'm sad. I'll see you tomorrow at 2:30. Take care, guys. Have a good night. And remember, whatever you do, don't do anything I won't enjoy. Thank you for watching. And if you're listening on the podcast, thank you for lending me your ears. You can have them back now. Good night. And, I should have lined this one up. But good night and take care. Where is it? I never have it lined up. What am I doing? What am I doing? There it is.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
That's all, folks.
Thanks for watching Leicester Till I Die. This is Chris saying goodbye and see you next time.
For watching, these videos are tremendous. You better like them too, or I'll be back.
Leicester Till I Die TV. They think it's all over.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Okay, I have two new obsessions that I need to share with you. Impress No Glue Press-On Manis and Impress Press-On Falsies Lashes. Trust me, these are getting ready game changers. Both require no glue, so there is no damage to your natural nails and lashes, no mess, and no annoying dry times. Just one step and you're done. Boom. Instant glam. Visit impressbeauty.com/presson and use code PRESSON25 at checkout for 25% off Impress manicure and Press-On falsies.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.